four, three,
two,
two, one.
Clink, caught you. Clink, clink.
Two, one.
Was I not supposed to count with you?
I was trying to throw you off. I'm getting overly excited now.
Oh, this is good, I guess.
And that's our little ding-dong. So, everybody, Happy New Year. And, Paulette, you and I are now finally in the same year.
No, you're not.
You're still in 2012.
That's right, yeah.
It's the Ukrainian thing. You're behind everybody.
13 days, usually. So 3 hours isn't too bad.
Except for Newfoundland, where it's half an hour.
That makes it, 12 and... No, 13 and a half. Yeah, we go.
All right. Well, it's now 5 hours UTC, and I know that across many parts of Canada, the United States, in the Caribbean, they're letting off fireworks, drinking a glass of champagne, or if they're poor, water. If they're cheap, I should say water. If they're really cheap, nothing at all. And I actually know people that don't do anything on this night.
Really?
Yes, and I'm not going to mention any names, but there's two people that I know that they always say to me, "Oh, New Year's comes around, I'm sick of saying anything. Blah, humbug."
Huh.
And they say they usually go to bed and then watch everything on television the following day.
The next day. Oh, that's fun.
The next day.
Talk about living in the past. In the new year.
But I have to be honest, I find it kind of annoying where, like, after 3 weeks, people are still saying, "Oh, Happy New Year."
Why?
Well, you know, a week, yeah, you know, 2 weeks, possibly. 3 weeks, it's pushing it. 4 weeks, forget it.
Keith, you know, for Ukrainians, Christmas lasts until the beginning of February.
Is that because of the drinking, or is that just the calendar? I mean,
that's according to the church, actually.
Who are drinking the sacramental wine, I suppose.
Don't even go there. I don't want to get into any trouble now with nationalist listeners who might be tuning in.
Oh, it's okay. We're supposed to be cheerful and silly, you know? And tomorrow you can wear the, what do you call those things again? Straight jacket?
Corset?
I have no idea. Don't ask me what that means. I just have no idea. I was thinking of something else, but I can't remember the name of it.
Sackcloth?
No.
Corsets?
No.
Girdle? I don't know.
Chastity belt. That's what I was thinking of.
You are totally mad. I don't understand how your mind works. It's very bizarre.
Do you think I do? Do you really think I do?
I not. Okay. All right. The
best line that I remember hearing was from comedian Peter Sellers. Peter Sellers was, he was very talented. He was a very talented comedian, actor, very talented at doing voices. But, you know, a lot of people who knew him and even said himself that he didn't know who he was.
Oh, dear.
And in one show that he was in, it was actually when he made a guest appearance on The Muppet Show, Kermit asked him, "Oh, Mr. Sellers, are you ready?" And Mr. Sellers says, "Listen, my green little friend, there is no me. I had it surgically removed." And the odd thing is that that's actually not far from the truth, because every time he would appear on a talk show, he said, "Oh, I can't come on as myself. I have to come on as somebody else."
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
I have to come on as somebody else. Okay. Let's play our first song for this year. It's Tommy Newsom, who was with the Tonight Show band for many years. Tommy Newsom, of course, is no longer with us. But this is a band that he formed for a 1996 recording, which is fantastic, called Tommy Newsom and the LA Big Band All-Stars, featuring some of the best names in studio musicians in Los Angeles. The song, the CD, is called I Remember You, Johnny. It's a tribute to the songs of Johnny Mercer. And here's That Old Black Magic.
That old black magic has me in its spell. That old black magic that you weave so well. Those icy fingers up and down my spine. Same old witchcraft when your eyes met mine. Same old tingle that I feel inside. And then that elevator starts to ride. And down, down, down I go. Round, round I go. Like a leaf that's caught in a tie. I should stay away, but what can I do? I hear your name, and I'm aflame. Aflame with such a burning desire that only your kiss can put out the fire. Oh, you're the lover that I waited for. You're the mate that fate had me created for. And every time your lips meet mine, darling, down, down, down I go. Round, round, round I go. In a spin, loving that spin I'm in. Under that old black magic cloud.
Black Magic, Tommy Newsom here on The Happy Station. Do you remember Tommy Newsom?
No, I don't.
You remember The Tonight Show?
I remember The Tonight Show, yeah. Oh, that guy.
Yeah, not the guy with the cove. What was his name? Not Doc Severin. I can't even get my words out tonight. Not even Doc. Not Doc. Okay, let me pretend I didn't say any of that. I'm not talking about Doc Severinsen, the guy with the colored suits. He was a sax player in the band. And if Doc Severinsen, who was the regular leader of the Tonight Show band, was away, Tommy Newsom used to take over.
Oh, okay.
Now, Paulette. We have a listener that I think both of us should say hello to right now. His name is Michael Stevenson, and he lives all the way in Australia. So do you want to say hello to him in Ukrainian? How about that?
Dobrý день, Mikhailo.
Oh, that sounds so erotic. Can you say that again?
No, once is enough. Don't be so silly.
I could. Here, I'll pretend to speak Ukrainian.
Oh, okay.
Doblegado, nichi, oive. Don't ask. I don't know where that came from.
The usual madhouse. Okay. So, what about Michael in Australia? He sounds very interesting.
He sounds very interesting. He's a listener of ours to the show that you and I do together, Media Network Plus. So. Let's hear what he has to say. Joining us now, Michael Stevenson, all the way in New South Wales, Australia, in a town called Port Macquarie. And I'm wondering if this is a town that was named after Owen Pollitt Macquarie, who's joining me on the program today. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Keith. How are you?
I'm doing really, really good. Now, you know, as you are probably aware, there's so many different New Year's Eve traditions around the world. Every country has their own take on what they do on the last day of the year. And I was thinking, you know, I want to find out what you guys do in Australia. And I was trying to wonder if I can bring up Vegemite. Does Vegemite have to play in it?
Not really, no. No, not unless it's earlier in the day, but during the evening, Vegemite really doesn't play a part at all.
Okay, so you don't make like a Vegemite pie or Vegemite pudding or anything?
No. I think that'd be rather awful, actually. A Vegemite sandwich, now that's nice.
So let me ask you, like in your home and in your family, what are some of the traditions that you do every year? Or do you just do like everybody else, just gather the family together? Or is there something that you do that's very specific?
Well, what we normally do, we normally have an evening out, and we go out to a restaurant and have a nice evening meal and enjoy the atmosphere. And there's also a lot of fireworks goes off, getting close to midnight, of course. There's also a family fireworks at about 10:30 before midnight. The fireworks are great.
So you're saying they actually have two sets of fireworks, one for families with small children. They can see it first, send them off to bed, and then they have another one.
That's it, yep.
Are they same or are they different?
But ones at midnight are a little bit better. They go a lot longer and they're louder.
So, I mean, okay, you just said that you go out into a restaurant. Now, I remember many years ago, one year I spent New Year's Eve in New York, and a friend of mine, the friends who are going to visit, they said, oh, we're not going to have any party, we're going to go out to get a meal. And I said to them, I said, are you sure we can do that? They said, oh, yeah, we made reservations. But despite the fact that they made reservations, we still had to wait to get in. And almost every place in New York City on New Year's Eve was jam-packed. I mean, my friends were smart, and what they did is they actually booked the restaurant. We had to wait about an hour to get in, even though we had reservations, but they had booked something like 4 or 5 months in advance.
Wow, yeah. That's a long time, isn't it?
It is. I mean, in Australia, I don't think you have to do that, right?
Well, not in Port Macquarie anyway, because it's only a small city, and, you know, if you book in advance for a couple of weeks, you're pretty right.
Now, are there any, for example, real Australian traditions at this time of year? Because now Australia is in its summertime.
Yep, that's right.
Warm,
nice and hot.
Do people organize, you know, New Year's Eve parties at the beach?
Oh, definitely. It's all over the place. There's crowds everywhere, walking through town and the parks, and they go on the beach and they sometimes get into trouble lighting little fires and that sort of thing, and have a barbecue with the fire with prawns and seafood and lots of alcohol, of course. This is probably why the midnight fireworks are louder.
Because everybody is too drunk, they can't hear it, right?
That's about it. And everybody really enjoys it then.
So, I mean, let me ask you, because it's the summertime, does that mean that around this time most people are, let's say, on summer vacation? Or when
yes,
does summer vacation...
Right.
So when does summer vacation officially kick in Australia?
About a week before Christmas, and
okay.
It goes till the end of January, so it's virtually a 6-week vacation.
Now, I could actually, you know, right at this very moment, many people listening to this saying, oh, I wish we had the same thing, you know, all I can get is 2 days off for Christmas, I have to go back at work, then I have maybe, you know, New Year's Eve off, and then I have to get back on January 2nd.
Yeah, that's right, that's tough, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, we get it really good out here because it's summertime.
You know, I have to say, Australians are, And I've heard this, you know, from most people that I know that have gone there. They say, you know, Australians are very lucky. They live in a climate that is one of the most agreeable climates in the world. There's a very laid-back way of living. Australians that I have met are extremely laid-back, more than people from any other country. And yep. You also have a very large country with very few people. It's you know, I mean, for yourself, I mean, there was a time, of course, Australia was, and Australians felt really cut off from the world because it was so far from everything.
Yeah, that's right.
What about in today's world with you know, everybody being so connected? Do for example, you as an Australian, do yourself and other Australians still feel, let's say, really far away from everybody?
No, not at all these days, particularly with mobile phones and internet. And I mean, you can jump on a jet now and virtually go anywhere in the world within 14 to 16 hours. So it's so easy now to travel anywhere, and a lot cheaper too.
Yes, you know, the first time some friends of mine came to visit me, they were actually from Melbourne.
Oh, yep.
And this is when I was living in Canada. And at the time, there were no direct flights from Melbourne to Canada. This is about 15, 20 years ago. And they had to go Melbourne to Singapore, Singapore to Hong Kong, Hong Kong to Los Angeles, Los Angeles to Vancouver, then Vancouver to Montreal.
Wow.
And then by the time they arrived in Montreal, they had to go back home because the vacation was over.
Yeah, it would have been spent on the planes all the time. That would have been terrible. Yeah. Now I think there's a stopover. If you fly from Melbourne or Sydney, there's a stopover at Hawaii if you go that way, and then directly into Canada.
Yes, yeah. It's a lot more convenient now than it was, you know. For certain.
Yeah.
Michael, thank you very much for joining us today. Happy New Year and everything. And since I'm not there to lift a glass, have an extra one for me, or an extra couple for me.
I certainly will, mate. I've already had a few. But it's been a real pleasure talking to you, Keith, and thanks very much.
And that was our good friend all the way in Australia, Michael Stevenson, who listens to this program. And I have to tell you, Michael, you know, when at the beginning of that, you know, when we were talking about, have you heard of Vegemite, Paulette?
I have. I've only heard of it. I've never tasted it. I don't plan to.
Actually, you know, it's not bad.
Okay. Well, what exactly?
It really is not bad.
What exactly is it? It's supposed to be healthy.
It is very healthy. I'll find some and I'll send
no
it
thanks.
To you.
It's okay. I'll find it in the store here. I've seen it in the store.
Oh, yeah, they do. They have it.
Story, yeah.
Uh-huh. Ah, okay. All right, time now for more music. Paulette, what is your selection for us now?
Well, coming up, since this is New Year, although it's not officially the Ukrainian New Year, this is a song that is pretty much standard for most Malanka celebrations, at least out here on the West Coast.
Malanka? What's Malanka?
Malanka is Ukrainian New Year. So in about 13 days' time at many of the Malanka celebrations, especially the ones that use the DJ, this will be one of the songs. It is a classic. It is standard. It is by the Village People. It is called YMCA.
Don't get
And that was the Village People with YMCA.
Paulette, can you make some malanka for me tonight? I'm very, very hungry, da?
Don't talk Russian to me. I'm Ukrainian.
It is not Russian. How dare you say that? But in Ukraine, we can speak anything that we want. Russian is the official language of Ukraine. Did you not know that?
Don't even go there. Don't get me started. That's for another show.
I wonder if Ukraine is going to do what they did in the province of Quebec, where dogs have to know commands in French.
If they have to do it, I don't know. It's.
You sent me that clip, which I thought was funny. It was from a show on CBC Radio, right?
Yes, it was. It was a spoof, and people actually believed it. Have we done anything like that, Keith? We've never done anything like that, like a spoof where people, you know, actually believe it, and it's just us as spoof. We're very always, I mean, we giggle and laugh and laugh, but we're pretty serious broadcasters.
Oh yeah, we're very serious.
We would never do pranks or anything like that.
No, of course not. And you know, just to show you how serious I am, right now I am not wearing pants.
Oh, don't put that picture in my head, please.
Oh, yes. The silliness continues. You're listening. I think we should. What's another word for happy? What's another word for happy?
I don't know. Delighted.
Delighted. This is the Delighted Show.
Delighted Station Show.
Yeah. You know, it was funny. Many years ago, when I was living in China, there was one radio station, and the name of the radio station in Chinese, right? The name was the Happy Radio Station. That was the name of it. And it was like playing, you know, top 40 music and stuff like that. And that was the name in Chinese. And they started to do about 2 hours of English programming a day. So they had to come up with an English name that they can use on air and for the publicity. Well, they came up with a name that it went over people's heads at the beginning until everybody, especially the foreign community in Beijing, realized, oh, this is just too funny, because they translated happy as, well, gay, which of course it is, but the station became, they started calling themselves on air, yes, this is Radio 774, the gay radio station.
And the LGBT community, well, got, you know, all the funny thing about it is, Chinese are accepting us.
Yeah, I spoke to the station manager, and I remember meeting her at some kind of event, and I said, just out of curiosity, why do you call yourself the gay radio station? And she said, oh, well, you know, that's the translation of the word that we're using in Chinese, which means happy. Now, okay, that I think would be the point where maybe it would just end, but it didn't end there, because you know their logo?
Uh-huh.
Was a rainbow flag.
Oh.
And they didn't know. They just didn't know.
Talk about culture clash, eh?
Well, it wasn't until somebody, I think from some government department, said to them, guys, do you know what you've just did right now? And then all of a sudden, everything that they had for way of publicity and everything, it was taken down within 12 hours.
Oh, boy.
And they had another name. But the thing is, to this day, they're still known as the gay radio station. The name just stuck with them.
Oh, you know what? I think that's nice. I think it's, you know,
it's hysterical.
It was funny, but why would they have taken it down? Why couldn't they have kind of gone with it? I mean, it would have been great publicity. And, well, I guess we still...
Well, you know, some of the stodgy people, you know, I mean...
We still have a ways to go, probably, I guess, eh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, and the thing is, they—I mean, even if they'd kept the name, the humor, they still didn't get the sense of why it. I mean, they when people started laughing at the thing, they thought it was terrible, and blah, blah, blah. They didn't see the funny side to it.
Well, yeah.
Everybody else did.
Yeah. Well, takes a while for things to evolve, I guess.
It does. Now, in many parts of the U.S., Paulette, as you know, they're letting off firecrackers and everything else, and people are having a wonderful time. Of course, I'm sure that tomorrow, because usually the day after today, January 2nd, in the newspaper, you hear about some silly idiot who's lighting a firecracker in his hand who goes, "Oh, I just wanted to see what it would do." You know, I'm sure we're going to hear these stories.
Uh-huh.
Or the best one that I remember, one from a few years ago, some nitwit decided to light firecrackers in his home.
Okay.
You know why? No. Well, it was raining outside and I didn't want the fire to go out.
So he set his house on fire? Okay, well, good. You get what you wish for.
Oh.
Yeah, loons, as somebody famously often says.
You know, not long ago, Peter Anthony Holder, who does the Stuff File, he had a guy on his show as a guest, and the guy used to work as a coroner.
Okay.
He worked as a coroner. He also worked, let's say, if there's somebody dies, they go to the scene first and fill out the reports, and then they take the body away. Anyway, after 20 years, he decided that he wanted to retire. But he wrote this book. He wrote this book about the funny ways people die.
Okay.
And he said it was the kind of thing, he said, like, within, he said, people within, say, that frame of work, he said, to keep your sanity, you have to laugh.
Well, no kidding.
You have to laugh. And he said sometimes there were, people would die, and it was just under the funniest circumstances.
Okay, you know, I'm not sure what I think about that. I mean, I can see the whole point of it. I'm not sure if I were to read that book. I mean, first of all, would I even buy it or even take it out of the library? I don't know. I suppose I'd pick it up if it was in the library or in the bookstore and have a look at it.
Well, the book itself, I've read some bits and pieces from it, right? And he says, you know, he said for him writing the book, and he says it's just a perspective of death that, you know what, I mean, death is going to happen no matter what, you know, it's just going to happen. And he said that, you know, for him writing the book and the stories that were given to him from other people who were in the same profession, he says it's a way, he said, for everybody in that line of work to actually deal with it.
Sure.
And he says, you know, it's the kind of thing, he said, sometimes you could have somebody that had, that, you know, died in the most, say, even like where they died. He was talking about this one guy. I mean, it sounds funny now, but he was this preacher. He was a really right-wing extremist preacher. And he died. He died in the arms of four prostitutes.
Okay.
But not normal prostitutes. Oh. Male prostitutes.
Oh.
not the prostitutes that you'd think of. And he said it was the funniest thing because he said the group that he'd organized were trying to do everything to keep it quiet.
Huh.
And he said, like, they showed up because they'd heard about him in the local papers. And they showed up and they saw all this stuff. And they said, the police, the ambulance people said, this is like better than a movie.
No kidding. You can't make that stuff up. Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Okay. Enough about serious stuff for a moment. If there is such a thing on this program today. We're now going to go, Paulette, like I said, to a friend of mine. He lives in Washington, D.C. His name is David Kolsar. I know David, and I also know his sister, Rosemary. And David works in radio. He also, he doesn't just work also on the microphone and speaking into the mic, but also does a lot of technical stuff as well from the transmission end. And I said to him, I said, look, you know, you're in Washington, D.C. Washington's a fascinating city. Put something together exciting about what happens in Washington, D.C. And he said to me, on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, nothing is happening in Washington, D.C. because nobody's here.
Well, only the people that live there.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like Ottawa in Canada. Everybody goes away, you know, back to their to wherever they're from. So him and his crew, they put together this little piece talking about different New Year's celebrations in the United States.
Should all acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should acquaintance be forgot in days of old lang syne? Should all acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should all acquaintance be forgot in days of old lang syne?
Good evening, listeners of the Happy Station. My name is Dave, and I'm the host here at an internet radio station in Washington, D.C., WGAY.FM. And I'm joined here by all of my compatriots and co-hosts joining us, actually Skyping in from Florida. We've got Sam.
Hello, Dave. Greetings from the sunny south.
Yes, yes, yes. And Bill's joining us right here in the studio.
Hi, Dave.
And Matt, how are you doing this evening?
I'm great, Dave.
All right. So anyways, New Year's Eve is always a special time here in Washington, D.C. We don't actually have a big celebration.
Not like New York.
Not like New York, no. Like everybody gets together in Times Square and the ball drops and it's on national television. We haven't had something like that in Washington, D.C. for, at least 20 years. Is that right, Sam?
Yeah, we used to have something called the dropping of the postage stamp. And they dropped a giant lighted image of a postage stamp from the tower of the old post office pavilion.
That was 30 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
So long ago, no one remembers the exact number.
I went to it a couple of times, and then the last time I went, there were all these people gathered around, and we were all waiting for it, and nothing happened, and we found out that the stamp was canceled.
Cancel the stamp.
Yeah, so the majority of Washingtonians go to either house parties or there's parties at hotels.
A lot of the hotels actually do a party, and then they have a package where the people get to stay overnight so they can get really drunk and not have to drive home.
Then have breakfast the next morning, all for $235 a person.
Way to make money for the
such
the
a bargain.
That's right. But of course, here we are, New Year's Eve in the studio at WGAY.
Some of us sit in a basement bunker just outside of Washington, D.C., watching the New Year's rise in.
Much better to be in Florida.
That's right.
Get over it.
Now,
what's the temperature out there?
Oh, it's kind of warm.
Yeah, well,
just kind of.
It's always kind of warm here.
That's right.
Except in the summer when it's really hot.
No, it's not hot. It's humid.
Now, of course, here in Washington, D.C., there are some things that never really change. And one of the things that's a time-honored tradition here in Washington, D.C., is the Congress being gridlocked and fighting over the budget for the country for the next year. And this year is no different. So what better way to commemorate all of the gridlock in Washington by hearing a performance from another Washington institution that is much more entertaining than Congress, the Capitol Steps, with a song that they're performing called Here We Come A-Waffling.
Happy holidays, ladies and gentlemen. We are members of the United States House of Reprehensibles.
A-waffling on promises we made, 'cause our minds keep changing. Now please don't feel betrayed.
I'll give health care to you,
your domestic partner too,
and the tax cut for Donald Trump. We can't forget the rich.
I am firmly for a plan, just don't know which.
Now we are backpedaling, we've gone too far, we fear. For my campaign message, what would you like to
waffling on issues, as you see.
I'll support her
We're not fit to be rats.
Yes, we are. Who told you that?
Can you tell when we lie? It's not difficult to prove.
Just watch those when we lie on this window.
Yes, those are the Capitol Steps with Here We Come A-Waffling here on this special New Year's broadcast for the Happy Station.
And I guess if we're telling people what we do here in the Washington, D.C. area, we talk about politics a lot. It's a company town, and the company is the U.S. government. And most nights here at the station, we would do a fair amount of arguing politics. Tonight, we're celebrating New Year's, but most nights we argue politics.
That's
right. Not the nights you're not here.
Oh.
That's right. And speaking of not being here, since you are Skyping in from Florida, what's going on in Florida tonight?
Well,
Now, of course, I should say for everyone in our audience that a lot of people in Washington are snowbirds, which means they fly south for the winter.
Birds have the good sense to do it. Why shouldn't we? Yeah. So, yes, John and I are here for about a month in sunny South Florida, like many other people in this country. The United States, although most people think of the winter as being cold, about 20 to 25% of the population is in a subtropical zone where it's fairly mild year-round, and only about 20% is in an area where it snows frequently. So here in the warm part of the country, New Year's is often an outdoor celebration. There's always a big party at the beach. People go to the beach New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. Sometimes there's all-night parties. And the big thing
is, how is this different than any other night of the week?
Usually the beach parking closes at dusk, so they kind of chase people away.
But New Year's Eve, they let them park later?
They let them park
so
later.
So the 24-hour partying is just better
exactly.
Parking.
Official 24-hour partying instead of illegal 24-hour partying. But the big thing is the fireworks. Every town has fireworks. Most places in South Florida have them. And if you go to the right spot, you'll see multiple displays, because unlike America's national holiday, July 4th, where the fireworks may start at different times, they're all at midnight. So if you go to an arched bridge in the middle of town, you can see up to, I've seen as many as 7 different simultaneous fireworks displays from all sides. So a really nice time to be here.
That's the highest point in town, on top of the bridge.
Florida is dead flat. The low spot is at sea level. The high spot is 10 feet above sea level.
Stand on your roof and be above the entire town, couldn't you?
Pretty much. But there's an arched bridge that goes up about 50 or 60 feet, and you can just see all over Miami from there.
Yes. Well, moving back to local stuff. Bill, you've got quite a number of stories about New Year's and New Year's past.
Yeah. A couple years ago, I went to a New Year's party in Logan Circle, which was a, let's just say, decayed part of town, which was just beginning its renaissance. Now Logan Circle is vibrant and hopping and parties all the time. But several years ago, that wasn't the case. And a friend of mine was renovating a townhouse. And all of a sudden, this empty townhouse that had sat in the circle for years had 200 people in it with a big New Year's party. Well, apparently the lady who lived in the townhouse next door didn't really realize this was going to happen. And she'd gotten in the habit of walking around her apartment without any clothes on. And she was walking around and looked out the window and noticed all these people in the room next to her, right across the alleyway. And I think she screamed, I was told, and which, of course, brought more people looking out the window directly. And she apparently called the police, and the police showed up. I was DJing at the time and was toward the front of the third floor. And looked out the window and saw the pretty lights and said, oh, look, the police are here. And then I sort of reached over and stopped a friend and said, you know, it's not a good idea to pour your drink on the police as they come knock on the front door, because at this point they are our friends and they just want to see what's going on. And honest to gosh, despite the reputation the police give you, they came in and said, what's going on? And my friend who was the owner said, it's my condo. We just bought the whole building. We're going to develop it soon. And we're having a party, and no one else has complained, and this lady's walking around naked in her apartment based upon what you said, and we're sorry, honey, but what do you want us to do? You know, we're here. And the police agreed and said, yeah, went, told the lady to cover up, and we continued onwards. And wow. that was a good year. I also remember way back in the year 2000, 1999 to 2000, the Washington Monument was undergoing major repairs. And
that's right, and they had scaffolding all around it.
Scaffolding up all over with special lighting. And I was working at a nightclub, and we could see the monument from this nightclub down in D.C. And there was all this concern about the year 2000, Y2K. Would the power grid hold up? Would this work? Would that work? We weren't sure. But what we did was we arranged with the manager. At midnight, he turned off the main breaker to the building, and the entire club went pitch dark. And we yelled, "Oh, my God, the Y2K is happening." And everyone was like, "Oh, no." They looked outside, and, of course, everything was all lit up and bright. And, you know, everyone sort of wandered outside for a bit. And we looked at the monument, which they turned on some twinkle lights and shot off a few fireworks. And it was quite nice. And then we turned the power back onto the building and partied until 4 in the morning.
Now, I had proof at that point that Y2K hadn't been a disaster because a friend, the late Gary Leibowitz from Tokyo, actually experienced the change of millennium 3 times. He was in Tokyo. They hit midnight. He flew to, let's see, he flew to the United States, to the West, to the, he flew to Europe. Then they had midnight, and then he flew here and landed before midnight and joined us at our New Year's party.
Oh, interesting, interesting. So Patrick just walked into the studio here. So, Patrick, you're from Wisconsin, and your parents are still up there in Green Bay. So are they doing anything for New Year's tonight?
Probably falling asleep in front of the TV.
Oh, my.
10 o'clock.
Well, Dick Clark was an institution for a long time on New Year's Eve. He would broadcast from Times Square.
That's right.
Is he gone in Wisconsin yet, or is he still on in Wisconsin?
He's still alive in Wisconsin, actually.
There you go.
A little behind the times there.
Wisconsin's behind the times, yes.
In fact, American Bandstand is still on TV in Wisconsin.
With the Shirelles.
Right.
All right. That just about wraps up New Year's in Washington, D.C. This is Dave from WGAY thanking everyone at the Happy Station for allowing us to be part of your broadcast tonight. And Happy New Year. And we're going to close.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And we're going to close out with some Billy Ward and his dominoes ringing in a new year.
Stroke of midnight on that great holiday. Gonna have a ball, and that's not all. I'm gonna chase the blues away. I'll be
singing in a brand new year.
I'll be
singing in a brand new year. Gonna dance, gonna dance, take a chance on that while I'm ringing in a brand new year. Gonna be a big parade. Got my resolutions made. Listen, dear, won't you meet me here while I'm ringing in a brand new year.
Gonna ride a bubble way up above the stars. Maybe while I twirl above the world, I'm gonna take a little trip to Mars. I'll be
ringing in a brand new year.
I'll be
ringing in a brand new year. Gonna dance, gonna dance, take a chance and roll that while I'm ringing in a brand new year. Gonna be a big parade. Got my resolutions made. Listen, dear, won't you meet me here while I'm ringing in a brand new year.
Sailing down a rainbow, I'll flirt with Lady Moon. If she's breezes, I always her eye. Well, then I won't get back till June. I'll be
singing in a brand new year.
I'll be
singing in a brand new year. Gonna dance, gonna dance, take a chance of romance while I'm ringing in a brand new year. Gonna be a big parade. Got my resolutions made. Listen, dear, won't you meet me here? Listen, dear, won't you meet me here? Listen, dear, won't you meet me here? I'm ringing in a brand new year.
David Kolsar and crew from Washington, D.C., about what Americans do in the New Year's. It's amazing, you know, how you know, Paulette, in different parts of the world, there are different degrees of celebration. I mean, here in Taiwan, the big tradition now, because we have the 101 building, which is this extremely tall building, and every year we actually have two fireworks displays. There's one on the New Year's that we just had a few moments ago, mm-hmm. and yesterday here in Taiwan. And then, of course, the other one, which is for the Chinese New Year. So we actually have two back-to-back, so to speak. And they're both very extravagant. I mean, I can tell you that last night near the Taipei 101, it's just like every year. What they do is the buses and the subway system run for 24 hours. Oh. And all the streets around the building are completely blocked off. And it is just people, and people go there and have a great time and then think, oh, Chinese New Year's coming up. We're going to do it again very soon.
Well, that's kind of like the Ukrainian way. In Canada, actually, you know, we have a very multicultural society, as you know. So January, for most people that aren't involved in anything ethnic or aware of anything ethnic or are just tired of Christmas and just want to hibernate or go away to someplace tropical. But for the rest mm-hmm. of the people here to pass the time away, well, we've got Ukrainian Christmas on January 6th and 7th. We've got Ukrainian New Year's the next weekend. The weekend after that is Robbie Burns. And then after that, you got usually Chinese New Year. So there's a lot going on here. And in Vancouver, mm-hmm. we have a really great New Year's guy, you know, and I can't recall his name. It's just slipped my mind right now, but he's very well known. He he wears a kilt, a Chinese guy that wears a kilt. And yeah.
Okay.
I'll have to get you that. It's just slipped my mind right now. He's like I said, quite well known in Vancouver and quite the character, quite the celebrity. And in January, he always comes out in full force, a very, very obviously Chinese Oriental person wearing this kilt and doing haggis and wonton soup or something.
You know, that reminds me of this character in Hong Kong. There's this one guy in Hong Kong and he comes out at night and he's an Elvis impersonator.
Oh, funny.
And, the open air restaurants that are on the streets and everything, he goes to these areas, right? And you give him he'll come by the table and he'll say, oh, do you want a song? You give him one or two or three Hong Kong dollars and he'll sing an Elvis song for you. But it's funny because, every song that he sings, okay, the lyrics are different, but they all sound the same because he only knows the chords to one Elvis song, Suspicious Minds. Oh, Suspicious Minds. So it doesn't matter if he's doing Hound Dog, Shake, Rattle, and Roll, Love Me Tender, they all sound like Suspicious Minds. And in Hong Kong, he's become like this big cult following. Just this big cult following. Everybody in Hong Kong knows him.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's hilarious. Well, everyone likes chutzpah. It takes that to pull off a gig like that and charge money for it. Good for him.
All right. You have another song for us now.
I do have another song. And this is by Tommy Dorsey, Taking a Little Step Back in Memory Lane, and So Rare.
So rare, so rare, so rare, so rare. Ah.
Well, guess what, poet?
What, Keith?
We are now coming up to 6 hours UTC, which means we're nearly out of time. We're nearly out of time.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's amazing how the time actually just flew by.
Oh, I was just thinking, is it only 4 hours?
It doesn't feel, yeah, it doesn't feel like 4 hours, does it?
No. No. It doesn't.
Anyway, before we go, Paulette, I want to thank you actually for joining us here on the program today like you did last year.
Oh, well, you're very welcome. It's been a delight. Thank you for having me on.
Hope you had a lot of fun. Hope I didn't drive you too crazy.
I'm used to it by now.
And some people are listening right now going, oh, it's a shame she has to get used to it.
You know, once you reach that point, you know, you kind of go numb and it just doesn't matter anymore.
Senility is kicking in, right?
What? Ooh, you're going to suffer for that.
Anyway, Paulette, thank you very much for joining us today. Before we go, just a quick thing. If you want to get in touch with us, our email address is hs@pcjmedia.com. And if you are listening to this program right now on 9955 kilohertz, do let us know. You can find the address at our website, pcjmedia.com. That's pcjmedia.com. Or shoot us an email, hs@pcjmedia.com. And by the way, this whole 4 hours will be uploaded at the website in about 30 minutes from now. That was the burp from the champagne that I just had. So,
TMI.
Paulette, once
TMI,
again.
TMI, Keith.
TMI. What does
too
that
much,
sound for?
Too much information.
I was thinking of another meaning of it.
Oh, don't even go there. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. Listeners, be very afraid when he says that.
We're going to leave you today with a British band called the Mike Flowers Pop and a song that is called 1999. So until next time, friends, this is Keith Perron wishing you well, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
Well, I was dreaming when I wrote this, forgive me if it goes astray. But when I woke this morning, I thought it was a judgment day. The sky was all purple, there were people running everywhere. They're trying to run from their destruction, but me, I didn't even care. I said 2000, party over, oops, out of time. Tonight I'm gonna party like it's 1999. Well, if you didn't come to party, don't bother knocking at my door. I've got a lion in my pocket, and baby, he's ready to roar. Everybody's got a bum, we can all die here today. Before I let that happen, gonna dance my life away. I said 2000, party over, oops, out of time. Tonight I'm gonna party like it's 1999. Welcome to the New Flowers generation, everybody. The reason my voice sounds so clear is because there's no crack in my brain, and I'm also using a microphone, which helps. Now, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you all for coming to our little end of the millennium party. So just relax and let your hair down, and if you can't let your hair down, then just take it off. I said 2000, party over, oops, out of time. Tonight I'm gonna party like it's 1999. Well, I'm going down to your Alphabet Street, yeah. I'm gonna walk so sexy, you'll want me from my head to my toe. I'm going down. And what year is it? Thanks very much. Yeah, that's the one. Very good year for the Prince of Pop.
Is that what you meant?
No, I'm the cafe
club. 1995.
Mike and I are members then.
Are you members now?
Well, not yet, no. Yeah. I haven't applied yet. Have you applied?